We begin the current daf of Tzivah Mestaf Lamed Tes. We begin on the bottom of the Lamed Ches Mabez, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we had the Mishnah that spoke about a Reisha and a Sefer, where in the Reisha was talking about a Shemer Yavam, a woman that her husband died without any children. She's now anticipating what the Yavam is going to do, Yibam or Chalitza. In that state, she inherits Nechasim called Nichsi Milug, which are totally owned by her. Whether it appreciates or depreciates, it all goes to her. It's just that the husband gets to have the utility of that. So that the Mishnah said, Beisham and Basil both agree that she could do whatever she wants with it. She could sell it, she could gift it. It's considered in her chazaka because nichsi milug are hers. Now, however, regarding the seifa, then suddenly there becomes a machloikis Beisham and Basil. Basil agrees that even if she dies, same thing is that she was the one that's muchzik, so the Yerusha Ha'av, which are her inheritors, they get it, not the Yerusha Ha'bal, which would be the Yavam. But however, and this was the Gemara's opening question, that according to Beis Shammai, he says Yachloiku. He says, you split it. The Yerusha Ha'av, meaning her inheritors, get half, but the Yerusha Ha'bal, meaning the Yavam, gets the other half. And that the Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha, Deloi Pligi, what's the difference in the Reisha where Beis Shammai doesn't argue? And they say that, yes, she's the muchzik. She's the one that was always pre-established that it's the nichsi milug are her properties. So then the yavam doesn't get anything, and she could do whatever she wants with it. So what changes when she dies? We're suddenly in the sefer. Beis Shammai say that the Yerusha Av, her inheritors get half, but the Yerusha Baal get the other half. So the Gemara in the previous daf of Lamed Ches brought two approaches, that of Ula and that of Rabba. Now that the Gemara continues and says Abaya Amar. Abaya comes with a third approach to resolve this question that we started off the sugya by explaining our mission, Daf Lamed Ches, to say what's the difference between the Reisha that Beis Shammai does not argue and agrees to Beis Hillel that the woman is the muchzik and the nichsi milug, whereas in the Sefer suddenly they do argue and say that she's not the only muchzik, and that is the Yerusha Ha'bal, meaning the Yavam, gets the other half. Now as Rashi explains, that Abaya doesn't say like Rabba's interpretation to say that, oh, Rabbi said the difference is that the Reisha was talking about that she's alive. Sefer is talking about that she's not alive. Where then if she's not alive, so she can't be the muchzik, so her inheritors are coming from the halachas of Yerusha, so then the Yerusha Ha'bal could also come from the halachas of Yerusha, and they split it. And the reason is because Abaya holds that most definitely the case of the Sefer where she's dead, if she had inherited when she was a Shemer Yavam, like the case of the Reisha, then actually Beis Shammai would agree that the Yerusha Av, meaning her inheritors, would be the definitive ones, and the Chasim would be in their Chazaka. The only difference is, Abaye explains as follows. He says, it's only because the Reisha, that first case of that the Mishnah opened up with, was Dinafla Kishimesh Shemeres Yavam, as the Mishnah makes it sound like, was that she inherited these Nichsi Milug when she was a Shemeres Yavam. Now that's why, according to everybody, she could initially sell it, and the same thing would apply even if she would be dead, that her inheritors would inherit it. Because the Zika bond is not strong enough to acquire something that falls to her when she's a Shemeres Yavam. She's not married to the Yavam. And therefore, Abaye says everyone would agree that whatever falls to her when she's a Shemeres Yavam, whether she's alive or dead, not like Rabba, then it would all go to her or to her inheritors. And that's the reason why in the Reisha she could sell it. But Sefer was told about a different type of case. It was told about Denaf Lala that she inherited these Nichsi Milug not when she was a Shemeres Yavam. It was because she talked of the Baal, when she already inherited this before her husband died, when she was still married to him. Now, that the Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara explains as follows, what Abaye is explaining, how that works out. Because Uksavra Abaye holds, as Rashi explains, from the fact that he establishes their machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in the case of the Sefer, that the woman inherited these Nichsi Milug when she was still married to her first husband. Yet in spite of that, if that's how he's explaining Beis Shammai, where Beis Shammai says, okay, so then she wasn't the sole muchzik, because when she's married, then the husband has some power over these Nichsi Milug. He gets to use it, he gets the peres. But still, there's Beis Hillel's opinion that holds even in the Sefer, which again Abaye is explaining that when she had the Nichsi Milug when she was still married, that Nechasim are still Becheskasim, meaning that the Yerusha Av, her inheritors, get all of it. So obviously Abaye holds that a married woman, Yodoy Ki Yoda, the husband's rights are equal to the woman's rights, but not more than that. Now, because of that, when he dies, And now the Yavam, who's taking over the role of his brother, the original husband, all he has now is Zika, as a Zika bond. So as we explained in the previous staff, automatically he gets demoted one level. He's not as strong as the husband. He's definitely taking over, but he's not even didn't even consummate this relationship, just a Zika bond from that relationship. So now, from Yadoi Ki Yada, as we're proving that that's what Abaya holds, that's the relationship between husband and wife regarding Hanichsi Melug, gets demoted to Yadoi of the Yavam being less than Yada, because you always have to go one step lower. Therefore, since she's the stronger one, the Nechasim, Hanichsi Melug, are in her Chazaka. Now, Beshame argue, and they say that no, a married woman, his hand, the husband's hand, is stronger, is better than her hand. And therefore, when he dies, so then it gets demoted one level to make the hand of the Yavam to be equal to her hand. And that's why it's Yachalika, that's why it's split. And that is, this same sugi is brought in the Masechtas Ksubis, where this is actually Machlokes Abaye and Rava, where Abaye says, according to Beis Hillel, Yadoi ki Yada. And Rava, who as we're going to see shortly in the Gemara, argues and he says that no, according to everybody, Yadoi Adifa Miyada. The hand of the husband is better than her hand. And there the Gemara says that the difference between their machlekes, Abaye and Rava, is, as the case we're discussing over here, that of Shemeres Yavam. But that's the interpretation of Abaye. Abaye says the difference between the Reish and the Seifa is, Reish is Toma when she inherits it, when she's a Shemeres Yavam. There everybody agrees that she has the sole rights. The reason why Beshame argue in the Seifa, when she dies, is based on a different principle because it was Toma in a different case. It's Toma that she inherited when she was still married to her first husband. Now the machlokes, Bisham Bisil, is in the definition of what are the rights of the husband in her Nichsi Melug. Is it stronger than her, because he's the husband, he gets to do whatever he wants with it, or is it just equal? She has the guf, he gets the peris. So on that, Bisil hold that it's equal. So when the Yavim takes over, he gets one step lower, so now he's lower than her. So she's the muchzik, she's the stronger. Whereas Beshame holds that, no, yode adifa, it's better, it's stronger. So when now it gets demoted to just a zikaban from the Yavim, become yode ki yada, it's equal, and therefore it's yachleiku, not like Beis Hillel says, b'chaskasin, that it goes to the Yershei Ha'av. Now, not only Rava argues, as we said, this is already brought down in Masechet Ksubis and elaborate on, he says, no. Eden nafila kishay takht of the Baal, if it's like you're trying to say the case of the Seifa, that she inherited these Nichsi Melug when she was still married to her first husband, then the Kulei Amalei Pligi, no one would argue, the Yadai Adifa Miyada, that his hand is better than her hand, and then therefore even Beis Hillel would agree that when the Yavim takes over, that the Yerusha Abal would have a portion in these Nechasim, because even if you say he gets demoted, so it would be like, even like Beis Shammai, that then at least they would split it. Not like the way it's brought in our Mishnah, that Beis Hillel says that the Yerusha Abal, the Yavim, doesn't get anything. And rather that the Yersha Av get everything. So Ella, rather, Rava gives a fourth interpretation, how to resolve this seemingly contradiction from the Risha and the Seifa in understanding Bisham's opinion. Idi v'idi did nafla k'shemeres Yavam. Both the Risha and the Seifa are talking about that she inherited these Nichsi Melug when she was a Shemeres Yavam in that situation after her husband had died, before the Yavam did anything. However, the difference is as follows. Risha is the Le'ovid b'maimer. The Reish is talking about where the Yavam didn't do anything yet. The husband died, and then people are just waiting around to see what's going to happen. They didn't do a mimer. Now, meaning he didn't do a mimer before these properties of the Nichsi Melug fell to this Shemeres Yavam. Now, therefore, the Zika bond is not strong enough to do anything, meaning like any woman before she has Eris and before she consummates a relationship, there's nothing happening over here, and therefore, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree in the case of the Reisha, since nothing was done, so a regular Shemeres Yavam who inherits it in that situation can go ahead and do whatever she wants with it. But Seifa is the Aviva Maimer. The Seifa is talking about that the Yavam did a Maimer. Now, this is Beis Shammai L'shitasim, going according to their opinion mentioned elsewhere, that's brought in the Chavtesim and Aleph, that they say that Maimer is a Kinyan, as is brought in Perek HaBo'ach, and where Beis Shammai say, Ishtoi Imoy, where that's talking about a case when there were three brothers. Two of them, Reuben and Shimon, were married to two sisters, and Levi was either single or married to a different woman. Reuben dies without any children. Levi goes ahead and does Maimer in the wife of Reuben, and then Shimon goes ahead and he dies without any children. Now, Reuben's and Shimon's wife were sisters. Now, had he not done Maimer, so then it would be Achoisu Kukais, which he would be forbidden in both of them. But Beishamai say that since you did a maimer already in Eishes Reuven, then it's like she's married to Levi. So now when Shimon dies without any children, his wife, which is the sister of Reuben's wife, is Achais Ishtai. So she gets removed. He doesn't have anything to do with her because he has already, quote, married Eishes Reuben by the maimer. And that's going according to the opinion of Beishamai. Whereas Beis Hillel are also, according to their opinion mentioned over there, that they say actually Maimer is not Koine. And since it's not Koine, it only is a rabbinic type of halacha. So therefore, it's like you weren't married. So even in our Seifa, where you did a Maimer, it doesn't make a difference. Beis Hillel would still say you're like a regular Shemayas Yavim on the biblical level, and therefore the woman would still be the Muchzig in these Nichsei Maluk. However, the Gemara explains exactly. B'ksava Rava holds that this Kinyan of Maimer Labishamai, what it does is as follows. Isa vade arusa v'safik nesua. It definitely makes her at least to the level of what a woman is when she's engaged to a man, but it only brings to what would be like doubtfully married. And that is as the Gemara explains. Although according to Beishamai, vade arusa, that Rava considers, he holds that a maimer will make this shemeres yavam definitely at least like she's an engaged woman, and that means to say, litches bitzara, to reject her rival, meaning her sister, who is her achis zukuka, and to say that no, she's not a problem for the first woman, that because it's actually the wife of Shimon is considered achis isha, because he has already consummated on some biblical level the relationship, this Levi, with the wife of Reuven, as Beishamai say, ishtayimo, he gets to keep her. They don't, not like the classic halacha of achis zukuka, that you can't marry either one of them. So although you see that on some level the Maimer is making a full kinyan in Eishes Reuven, however, it's not making like she's definitely the second stage of marriage, that of Nisuin, which would make it that the Yavim would acquire as an inheritor all the properties of his, quote, wife, because actually it only makes it Visafik Nisuin. It only makes him like a doubtful marriage, which would make it Lachlik B'Nachasim, to thus split the Nichsei Milug of his pseudo-wife, because since it's a suffix nesua, if it's definitely married, well, then he gets everything. If she's not married, then he doesn't get anything. But it's a suffix nesua, and therefore, again, they split the nechasim. But again, as we said before, they still that argue and say that they don't split it, and the Yerusha'av get everything is because he goes l'shitasai, his opinion mentioned over there, that he says that Maimer is loikani, it's not a kinyan. It's a rabbinic thing, so it could create different other issues, but it's not a kinyan, and therefore she would still be the muhsik. There's not even a suffix nesua, and they still say that in the chazaka of the woman's side, but Beishamai that holds that maimer is a kinyan, again, but it's only a kinyan regards to rejecting the other woman to say that she's at least an arusa. However, it wouldn't make like a definite nesua, only like a suffix nesua, that's what's lachlik ben chasam. Now the Gemara brings that itma mishmei de Rabbi Elazar kavasei de Rava. We have a statement from Rabbi Elazar, who seems to be saying like the interpretation of Rava in this explanation of our Mishnah. Itma mishmei de Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina kavasei de Abaye, and we have an interpretation of Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, which seems to say like Abaye's interpretation, the two interpretations that we just said on this daf. Now on that the Gemara asks, umi amar Rabbi Elazar hachi, could it really be that Rabbi Elazar said like Rava's interpretation in our Mishnah? Vam Rabbi Elazar said as follows. He says, Maimer LeBeishamai, as we brought this in the previous daf, that according to Beishamai, what a Maimer does is Eina Kaina. It actually does not acquire this Yavama as a full-fledged wife. Elalitches Bitsar Bilvad, all it does is it rejects the challenges of the co-wife, of the rival, of those which would be the Achaisikuka, to say that, wait a second, each one is the one that you have to marry, and you can't because each one's going to be the Achaisikuka, the other one, so then you're stuck. That Beishamai holds that no Maimer accomplishes to say, no, she's the one. But it doesn't make any kinyan at all, and therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, you can't say, like Rava had said, which then you're going to have Yachloiku in our Mishnah because it makes a suffix nesua. According to Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't do anything to acquire the woman. You don't have anything, not even like a suffix nesua, and therefore the Yerusha Habal, the Yavam, shouldn't get anything. But Rava's interpretation says that it's you split it. So that the Gemara says, you're right, Epoch, you have to switch it around. It was that Rabbi Elazar was like Abaya, and that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina was like Rava. That's one answer. If you want, you could say another approach. You don't have to switch it around. You could say that Rabbi Elazar, as it was recorded, that he said like Rava. But Amalach, Rabbi Elazar would tell you, Ki amri ano, when did I say this? That Maimer is not koine anything according to Beis Shammai. It just pushes away the problems that would be from the rival. That was, I was only saying de leisagi lo beget. It means to say that you're not married to her, which would be that you're past the yidden stage and she's like a regular wife, that you would just be able to divorce her with a get like a regular wife. I was just saying that it's not enough to acquire or to say that's not enough for a get. El debayi na mechalitza. It's just that because if you would not want to stay married to her anymore, that you would still need also chalitza. It's not like you actually acquired her like a wife. You'd still, if you want to reject her, have to utilize chalitza. However, lachlik b'nechasim d'leikani mi'amri. Did I say that it's not going to acquire some type of an acquisition to say that it would make like a suffix nesuah to be able to split nechasim in half? I didn't say that you don't have any type of acquisition in her which would have a monetary ramifications. I was saying regarding the lachas of how you're going to divorce her, she's not totally the wife to say that, oh, now it's just enough with a get. No. You need also have chalitza, but doesn't mean that you don't have somewhat of a nisuin to say that you could be able to split the nechasim. Now, the Gemara concludes this sugya, which started on the previous daf, with four different interpretations of this seemingly contradiction in Bishami's opinion in our Mishnah. So, Amar Papa says, "Diyuka demasnit in kapasei dabaya." The inferences of the words in our Mishnah seem to indicate, like Abaya's interpretation, that the reason for the Sefer being different than the Reisho was because the inheritance of these Nichsi Melug weren't when she was a Shemer Siyavim like the Reisho, where if that would be the case, then she could do whatever she wants, she's the Muchzik. But rather it was when she was still married to her original husband, and therefore that's not totally for the wife, as Beis Shammai said, that then you get to split it because you have Yadoi Adifa Mi Yada, and then when it gets downgraded to the Yavim, it comes Yadoi Ki Yada, they're both equal in their status of this Nichsi Melug. Now, however, that is in spite of Afagav de Kasha Mesa. Even though there's still a difficulty, if that's the interpretation, why the Sefer has to be talking about a case where she dies, as the Gemara explains. Diktani, our Mishnah says, and this is what seems to indicate like Abaya, says, Nechasim ha-nechnasim v'yeitzim ima. The case of the Sefer says that when this we have this Machlekes B'Sham and Basil is regarding these properties of her, which come in and go out with her. Now, the Gemara asks, my nechnasim u'ma yeitzim. What is it coming into and what is it coming out of? Lav, isn't it coming to say, nechnasim l'rishos habal? These are properties of hers, these nechsim ulog, that went into the husband's domain with her, b'yeitzim l'rishos habal, and they also go out from the husband's domain, l'rishos av, to the domain of the father. Meaning, when the husband dies, then it goes to the yersha av. So obviously you see that these properties were those which was inherited by her at the time when she was married to her husband. That's why they're called nichnasim yetzin mima. They came into her when she was, it came into her husband's domain when she inherited when she was married, and then also left his domain to her inheritance to the Yersha Av when he died. So it seems to be saying that the Seifa, the reason for this case, is like Abaya said, because she inherited actually when she was still married to her first husband. That's in spite of the Afagav de Kasha Mesa. Even though there's a difficulty of the case of why does it specifically talk about that she died. Now this is similar to how Rabba, who was the second interpretation of the previous daf, had rejected the interpretation of Ula, but here it has a different ramification. And the question is, Ademithlagi Bugufa, instead of the Sefer arguing about the actual properties themselves, Ula Achamisa, and that the ramification is after she's dead, who gets it? The Yersha Av, or do the Yersha Av split up with the Yersha Baal? Lif legu b'chayeh ula peiris. Bisham Yisrael could have argued, if this is the case, as Abaye had said, even with her still alive, and the difference would be they're arguing over who gets the utility, who gets the peiris. Because just like Abaye is explaining that the reason for this, machlekes, is what do we consider the Yavam in regards to the Yavama, the Shemeris Yavam's properties, in the status of Shemeris Yavam, do we say, like Beis Shammai, that Yadai of the Yavam is Ki Yada, and that's why he split it? Or do we say, like Beis Hillel, that then his hand of the Yavam is less than Yada of the Yavama, and then he wouldn't get anything of the Peiris, and the Shemeris Yavam would have everything? So therefore, you could have said the same thing in the case of when she's still alive. You don't have to say that she died. She's alive, and the difference would be that they argue over the Peiris. Never the Gemara concludes, there's nothing more to talk about this. And the sense is that it definitely seems to be meduyik and precisely like Abaye's interpretation, but you still have the question then, then why do I have to speak about a case of that she died? You could have had the same machlokes between Bisham and Bishil regarding when she inherits it, when she's still married to the first husband, and now she's a Shemeres Yavam. Do who gets the peiros? Is it totally in the woman's domain, or is it split between her and the Yavam? Now the Mishnah concluded and said that Kenasa harehi v'chulu. If he then goes ahead, up until now in the Mishnah, we were talking about Shemeres Yavam, where she was just waiting to see what's going to happen. Now the Mishnah says, but if he marries her, he goes and he does Yibim to her, then she's Ke'ishtei L'chaldav, and then she's totally like a full-fledged wife. So the Gemara Lamai Helchasa, what halacha is the Mishnah coming to teach us? So Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says, the Mishnah is coming to teach us two halachas. First of all, Lo Mishnah Megarsha Beget. It comes to teach us that he could divorce her with a regular get, like a regular wife, and he doesn't have to utilize Chalitza, which is the rejection that's used for a Yavama. And moreover, Umachzira, and that is, if he wants to, she's not forbidden for him now that he has already divorced her. He can then go ahead and remarry her like a regular wife, although she was Eish Shesach, as the Gemara explains. The Gemara asks, Megarsha Beget Pshita. What it means, obviously he could divorce her with a get, because once he does Yibum, she's like a regular wife. So the Gemara says, no. So I would have thought to say, Hayeluk Siv, since the Pasig in the parish of Yibum says, Ulakacha Loi Leisha V'Yibma, that he will take her for a wife, this brother of his wife that died without any children, and he'll do Yibum with her, which the word V'Yibma seems to indicate that even after Ulakacha, even after he takes her as a wife, we're still calling her V'Yibma, she's still called Yavama. And therefore, Amrach, Manda the Torah is telling us, Vadain Yivumi Harishna Leha, the original status of Yavama is still on her. And therefore, Bechalitz in Beget Loi, if you don't want to stay married to her, you would still have to utilize the way that you reject the Yavama. Ish through Chalitz and not through Ged. Kamash Mulan, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. I know, once you go ahead and you do Bia and you fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, she's like a regular wife, and you divorce her with a Ged. Now the Gemara asks regarding the second principle, Machzir Pshita, that's also obvious. If we're already telling you that she's considered like a full-fledged wife, so of course then, once you divorce her, you could remarry the woman that you had divorced. So the Gemara says, no. So I would have thought to say, Mitzvah derami rachmano Allah avda. The mitzvah that the Torah gave you, which was a unique mitzvah, although this is an erva of Eish Asach, but you have a mitzvah of Yibum to fulfill when he dies without any children. But once you did that, meaning you did Yibum, and then you divorced her, Sahashta Tekem Allah Be'isr Eish Asach. So now, she's not married to you anymore. So now she goes back, she reverts to the old Isra of Eish Asach. She is the brother's wife. You just had a heter to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah. You did that. Now once you divorced her, so you can't remarry her anymore because she's really the old erva of the Eish Asach. Kamash Mon, that's the chiddush. I know she became a full-fledged wife. The past is gone. She's not anymore Eish Asach, and therefore you can remarry her. But now the Gemara asks, Veim Hachanami, regarding both of these principles, why not? V'yibma should tell us that she's still a Yavama and you should have to divorce her with Chalitza. And moreover, once you fulfill the mitzvah and you divorce her, you shouldn't be able to remarry her. So the Gemara says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Ulakacha loy, that he takes her. Now, as Rashi explains, it could have gone straight to the word, Ulakacha loy, he takes her, V'yibma, and he's Meyabim her. Why does it say, Le'isha, that he takes her as a wife? So from that extra word, you can infer, Kivin Shalakacha, Harehi Ki'ishtoi L'chaldava. That once he does take her in marriage, she becomes like an Isha, like a wife, for all practical purposes. And therefore, he can divorce her with a get, and he can remarry her if he wants to. Now, so what does the word v'yibma then come to teach? And that Rashi explains, either like Rebbe, which is brought on Daf Ches, which is coming to forbid the Tzaris and the Arayis, because he learns it out from v'yibma, or like the Rabban, who say that v'yibma comes to say that he could do yibum, bal karchi, even against the will, without the consent of the Yav, of the Yavama. That's what the word v'yibma is coming to teach, but not to say that adayin yibum hirshayin aleha, because actually, once you go ahead and fulfill yibum, she's like an isha l'chol dava. Now, the Mishnah said, in its final statement, ubevach teik subasa, that although that now she becomes like his wife in all practical purposes, however, as long as her kesuba is still has a lien on her first husband, on the brother that died. So that the Gemara is my time, and what's the reason for that? It's almost like she was never married to him. She's not an Eish Asach, so why isn't that on the second husband? So that the Gemara explains, because Isha Hiknuloi, this woman was acquired as a wife to the Yavam, Min HaShemayim, from heaven. He didn't choose this wife. Heaven dictated that he should go ahead and marry this woman. And therefore, he never made a shibud, never made a lien of his properties for Harksuba. And therefore, he could sell his properties at any time that he wants to. And therefore, that would preempt what the purpose of the ksuba is. And therefore, we create that lien on the first husband's properties. However, the Gemara does tell us, ve'iles la min harishon, but if she doesn't have anything from the first husband, meaning that he doesn't have any properties for her ksuba to collect from, then tekinu la misheni, then the Rabbanan did institute that the ksuba should have a lien on the second one, meaning on the yavam. And the reason is, what the whole purpose of a ksuba was, that's the fundamental principle, k'dei sheloi tehei kala be'inim lo yitzia, that it shouldn't be easy, something flippant in his eyes to be able to just divorce her. That's the one of the intentions of the ksuba, that say, wait a second, you can't. Is it going to be a payment that you have to do? And there is a lien on your properties. So that's the intention of the ksuba. So in the case where she's not going to have that from the first husband's properties, then that's instituted on the yavam's properties. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which qualifies the halachas of Yibam and Chalitza. So the Mishnah opens up by saying, mitzvah begodol liyav. The mitzvah is, the ketchila, that for the oldest brother of the brother that died without any children, for him to do Yibam, as the Gemara in the Chav Dalam and Alpha explained to us, from a pasuk in Devar Mechafei, that says, v'hoyah habachar, that the firstborn, and as the Gemara they interpreted, that's going on the Yavam, that the firstborn should do Yibam. Now the Mishnah tells us, Lai Ratza, if he doesn't want to, and the Gemara will explain all the specifics of what does it mean he wants to or not wants to, but if he doesn't want to, so Mahalchen Lakol Achen, then you go to the rest of the brothers to see if they're going to. Lai Ratzu, if they don't want to, then Chayzin Eitzel Gadol Va'imalei. Then they go back to the oldest brother and they tell him, look, Alecha Mitzvah, the mitzvahs are coming upon you. Aicholetz Ayibim, either do Chalitza or do Yibim, but you have to go ahead and do one of these two things. Now, the Mishnah tells that if Tala Bekatan, if the older brother, he pushes off and saying, look, I have a younger brother, which means to say a minor. Wait for him until he gets older, he'll do it. Or there's the oldest brother, that he's the one to do the mitzvah, but he went overseas for some time, that he's the one that should be doing the mitzvah. Wait for him, because he's older than me, and maybe he'll be miyamhar. Or he says, look, there's another brother, that's a deaf mute or that's deranged, let him go ahead and do it. That the Mishnah tells us in Shemile, regarding all these push-offs that he does, we don't listen to him. Rather, we tell him, the mitzvah is incumbent upon you. Now, although one of the cases was talking about that he was saying that there's an older brother that he has that went overseas, but still and then the mitzvah is supposed to be with the oldest, but still we tell the oldest brother that's here, that's here to do the mitzvah, we tell him, look, the mitzvah is upon you, as Igmar will explain, because we don't want to delay a mitzvah being done. Aichalat ayibim, either do chalitza or do yibim, but don't give us these push-ups by saying, oh, I have this brother, I have that brother, and even in the situation where the oldest brother is overseas, that he's the one that should be doing it, it doesn't make a difference, because right now, the most viable option that we have is you, and therefore you have to do it. Now the Gemara brings the following discussion, which will come into the explanation of our Mishnah. Itmar, we learned as follows. If there's two options, bias katan v'chalitzis gadol, and that is the older brother wants to do chalitza. Now, a brother younger than him wants to do yibam. Now, as Rashi explains, when we say katan, we don't really mean a minor, because a minor is not able to do chalitza or yibam, and the reason is because he might be a sris, he might not be able to father any children, which doesn't make him a viable yavam. Now, as Rashi explains, even according to those manda'am that are not concerned for minority possibilities, and therefore a minor would be able to do yibam because they're not concerned that maybe he won't be able to father a child. Here in this sugi, Rashi says it's obvious that we're not talking about a real minor from the fact that the Gemara later on will ask that regarding someone that says wait for the katan until he gets older, and there the Gemara answers that we don't wait for a mitzvah. Obviously, that regarding a minor, everyone agrees in this sugya that the minor itself wouldn't be able to do it, because then why does our Mishnah say that Talib Akatan Achayagdal? What do you mean Achayagdal? Just let him do it right now, because a katan could do Yibam Chalitza. Obviously, that in this sugya, everyone agrees that a katan can't do Yibam Chalitza. So we're talking about a younger brother, not a minor. He's willing to do Yibam. An older brother is not willing. He wants to do only Chalitza. So on that, the Gemara says, Pligibar Rabbi Yechinon Rabbi Shuman Levi. Chadama one says, Bias Katan Adifa. The Bia, the Yibam, the consummation of the relationship of the younger brother is better. Chadama Chalitza is God Adifa. The other one says, no, the Chalitza, the rejection of this relationship of the older one is better, as the Gemara explains. Man dama bi is katan adiba, the one that says that the bi of the young one is better. We always say the initial option that we'd like to choose is yibum. So therefore, since the young one's choosing that, we do that. But the one that says, no, the chalitza, the older brother, is better, because b'makom gadol bi is katan lav klumi. In the situation of an older brother, that there is an option of the older brother doing something, even though it's only going to be chalitza, then the bia of the younger one is nothing, because as we said, as the Mishnah opened up, we always go to the oldest brother. That's the initial situation that we want to be in, and therefore the chalitza, although it's only chalitza, of the gadol is better than the bia of the kat. Now that the Gemara asked from our Mishnah. Tznan, we learned, loy ratza, if the older brother doesn't want to, so he said, machzina kolach, and so then we go to the other brothers, the younger brothers. So the Gemara asks, my love, loy ratza liyab melalachlitz. Doesn't it sound like from the Mishnah? What does it mean? Meaning the older brother didn't want to do yibim. Rather, he would have done just chalitza, and yet v'ktani mahalchen etzel achen, and still we say that we go after the other brothers to see that maybe they'll be willing to do the initial situation that would like, which would then being doing yibum. So shma mina bi is katan adifa. So we can infer from that that the bi of the katan is better, because the older brother was willing to do chalitza, he just wasn't willing to do yibum. And yet still we say, okay, wait a second, let's go check the other brothers to see if they're going to do yibum. So you see that bi is katan is better than chalitza b'gadol. I think Mara says loy ratza, when that says that the older brother didn't want to, he didn't want to be even lach loitz v'laliyam. He says, I don't want to get involved, I'm too busy. I don't want to do not just yibum, I don't want to do chalitza. And therefore, then we say, okay, he doesn't want to do anything, so let's go to the other brothers. Now, that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so then the kavasah gabi achen, then when you're saying that ratza or loy ratza was in reference to doing anything, yibum or chalitza, so that when it says regarding the other brothers that loy ratzu, if they don't want to, so what are you saying that means? Loy lachlitz, loy yabim, that they don't want to do neither yibum or chalitza. So then the question is, why does the Mishnah say, Amai chayzen etzla gadol, then why do you go back to the older brother? And then as Rashi explains, if you would say, as the Gemara had assumed in its question, that whenever it says they were willing or not willing in the Mishnah, it means only in reference to the initial Likatchila state of Yibum. So that would make sense why, if the older one doesn't want to do Yibum, so we say, okay, hold on, let's go to the other brothers. Then if the other brothers don't want to do Yibum either, then we say that we go back to the older brother. Because since everybody is willing to do chalitza, and even the older brother is willing to do chalitza, so the older brother is first because he's the oldest, so we'll do chalitza through him and we'll force him. But if you say that no one wanted to do anything, even chalitza, so why do we go back to the older brother? Obviously, the reason we'd be going back, as the Gemara says, is so that we could force him to do chalitza. So that the Gemara asks, if we're already coming to forcing people, so let's just force the other brothers. Why do we make Bezdin go crazy? They go to the older brother, they call him up, they say, okay, calm down. He says, look, I don't want to do nothing, no yibum, no chalitza. Okay, fine, we'll go to the other brothers. They come back to the youngest brother, he's the last one. He says, I don't want to do yibum, no chalitza either. So then they say, okay, the Mishnah says, go back to the older. Why have to go back? If we're forcing someone, let's just force the younger brother anyway. What's the purpose of going back? That the Gemara says, no. Kiven the mitzvah led the day Ramya, since the mitzvah is incumbent upon the oldest brother, led the day chavinan. So he's the one that we force. And that's why we'll go back to the oldest brother. And therefore, it's no raya that bi is katan is better than chalitza v'gadol, because no one wants to do anything. And again, that's why you'll go around to the younger brothers. But if that no one wants even the youngest, then you go back to force the older brother. Now the Gemara asks, actually, from our Mishnah, according to the other opinion, that the bi'is katan was better. It's not within our Mishnah. Talib katan achayaglav. Let's say the brother says, look, I have a younger brother, wait till he gets older. On that, the Mishnah said, ain't shemalim. We don't listen to him. Now that the question is, vi'i bi'is katan adifa, as we said, we're not talking about a minor, but a younger brother, he's just not ready for marriage. But if the bi'a of katan is better, samai ain't shemalim, why don't we listen to the older brother? Ninter dilma gadol miyabim. Let's wait. Maybe he will get older, and maybe he will do yibum. And we said that the bi'is katan is better than the chalitza v'gadol. So why wouldn't that be a good excuse that he's giving? So now the Gemara responds as follows. What do you mean? O taimeich, according to your line of questioning, I could ask you a question even according to your opinion, that you hold the chalitza of a gadol is better, when it says that another excuse he gave was, u'b'gadol, look, I have an older brother, until he comes back from overseas. And that the Mishnah said, ain't Shemelah, you don't listen to him there either. Amai, why not? Let's wait to see if maybe when that brother comes back, who is the older brother, who is the gadol, then maybe he'll do chalitza. And even according to your opinion, you hold the chalitza gadol zadifa. So then when he comes back, you'll have chalitza gadol. So why don't you say that's also a good excuse? Ella rather, as we had alluded to this in the Mishnah, according to everybody, it's not a difficulty because kol shiyu mitzvah le'mashin, we don't want to delay a mitzvah, and therefore we go for what is the viable option right now. And therefore you would agree that you'd go ahead and do chalitza with this brother without waiting for the older one that's overseas. So too for me, even though I say bias katan adifa, we're not going to wait for the younger brother to see what he's going to end up doing later on in life when he decides to get married. Because right now we want to take care of this situation, and therefore, even though bias katan is better, we'll do the chalitza with an older brother. That was one version of this machlokes. The Gemara continues to Amud Beis and says, "Is the Amri that those that quote this machlokes in a different version." And that is bibia kula amalei pligi. Regarding if there's an option of someone doing bia, consummating the mitzvah of yibum, no one argues the bia is kat nadifa. Of course we'll go, even though he's not the older brother, to do the bia of the younger brother. Ki peligi bechalitza's katan. The machlekes was regarding when the younger brother also is willing to do chalitza. V'hachayit man, this was their machlekes. Chalitza's katan mechalitza's gadol, nobody wants to be miyabmar. But there's an older brother that's willing to do chalitza, and there's a younger brother willing to do chalitza. And that pligi by Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuban Levi, this was their machlekes. Chad amar chalitza is gadol adifa. One said the chalitza, the older brother, is better than the chalitza, the younger one. Chad amar kiad dodi ninu. The other mandama says no, they're the same thing. It doesn't make a difference who would do the chalitza. As the Gemara explains, mandama chalitza is gadol adifa. The one that says the chalitza, the older one, is better. The mitzvah gadol, as we're always saying in our Mishnah, the mitzvah is preferred with the older brother. The other mandama would say, "Ki amrin the mitzvah gadol." When did we say in our Mishnah that the mitzvah is with the older brother? That's le'inyan yibum. That's regarding consummating the relationship, as that's what the pasuk in Bahaya Bachar is talking about regarding doing the mitzvah of yibum. Avlin chalitza kadod inenu, but regarding chalitza, they're both equal. It wouldn't make a difference who does it. Now that the Gemara asks on this mandama, but tanan we learn in our Mishnah that says loy ratu. If the other brothers don't want to, then chayzun etzel gadol. Then you go back to the older brother. On that, the Gemara asks, "My love, isn't the Mishnah talking about that leiratzu leyabim elachlis?" When it says they didn't want to, meaning they didn't want to do yibim, but they would have done chalitza, and yet still v'katani chayzin etzel gadol, and still we learned that you'll go back to the older brother. V'shma mina chalitza is gadol adifa. You can infer from here, this is the second version's discussion, which is assuming that when they say they didn't want to, meaning yibim, we could understand they don't want to, but chalitza is not a big deal. Yibim, they don't want to be married to this woman. So, but it's saying that they don't want to do yibum, but they would do chalitza, and still you go back to the older brother. So obviously you see from the Mishnah that chalitza gadol is better. Then the Gemara says, "Loi, no, as it had done in the first version. When it says leiratzu, that the other brothers didn't want to, loi lachlitz v'loi liyabim, they didn't want to do nina chalitza or to yibum." Well, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, well then, with the kavasag abigadol, then that means to say the same thing was regarding when the Mishnah said regarding the older brother when leiratzu, that he didn't want to, it meant loy lachlitz v'loy liyabim, that he also didn't want to do chalitza or tiyibim. But then the question is, so he didn't want to, so we went to the other brothers. And they didn't want to, neither yibim or chalitza. So then, as the first version had asked, ela mai chayzun etzel gadol, so then why are we going back to the older brother? No one wants to do anything. We went to every brother. You would go lemechafaya, to coerce him, to force him to do something. Well then, lechfay ledidu, let's force the other ones. Well, make Bezdin crazy to say that they went to older brothers and by the last brother, and he says he doesn't want to, you have to go back to the other one. What's the difference? The Gemara says, no, kibin the mitzvah aleh, the day ram, since the mitzvah is incumbent upon the oldest brother, and no one wants to do anything, so ledidei chafina, we force him. And additionally, because maybe now that he'll have to do something, he might actually choose yibim, which then for sure the older brother is the preferred option. Now the Gemara says, tashma, from our Mishnah, question according to the other mandama. The Mishnah says, Talab gadlach yavim imdin sayam. If let's say this yavim that's here says, look, wait, I have an older brother that's overseas, wait for him, let him do it. And then the Mishnah says, in shemele, we don't listen to him. Now the question is, v'sogadai de chalitza galadiva, if you hold, like the other mandama, that the chalitza of the older brother is better, well, amai in shemele, why don't you listen to this brother that's here? Ninto dilmi asav chalitz, wait and see, maybe the older brother will do chalitza, and that's a more preferred option than chalitza of a younger brother. Well, that to give him a response, what do you mean? Otaymeich, according to your line of questioning, then regarding, let's say, the other excuse that's mentioned in the Mishnah, where bekotna shayagda, wait, I have a younger brother until he gets older, that the Mishnah said, ain't shemel, you don't listen to him. What do you mean, am I? Why? Ninter dilma gadul umeyabim, wait to see, maybe he's going to mature, he's going to get older, and he's going to decide to actually do yibim, where according to everybody in this second version, agrees that the bia of a cotton is better than the chalitza of any of the other brothers. Or inami, even moreover, that this they're answering to the other mandama, even from the case that you're asking on me, maybe us ihu, maybe that older brother that's overseas will come, ubmeyab ma, and he'll do yibam, which according to everybody is better. So why wouldn't that be a legitimate excuse to say, let's wait? Because even you agree that bias, a cotton, or for sure an older brother is better than any chalitza that's being done. Rather, what you have to say for those cases, which will answer the question you're asking on me, is kashiyu mitzvah leishenan. We never push off, we don't want to delay performance of a mitzvah. So though, yes, I agree that the chalitza of a gadol is better than the chalitza of a younger brother, and the older brother is overseas, we still don't say to wait because we don't want to push off a mitzvah and he's overseas. We want to take care of this matter right away. Now the Gemara continues on this topic about yibum being a more preferred option than chalitza. So Gemara says, "Not hasam." We learned within the Mishnah Masechtas Becheiros, says that mitzvah yibum kedemus lemitzvah chalitza. The mitzvah of yibum is first in line; it's the preferred option before performing the mitzvah of chalitza. Meaning, you have a shemeres yavam or yavama. You could either consummate it with yibum or defer it and push it away with chalitza. We prefer yibum over chalitza. Now, the Mishnah there says that was b'rishayin shayim eskavim l'shem mitzvah. That was initially the situation where people, their intentions in doing the mitzvah of Yibum was for the sake of the mitzvah, which the Torah says you should marry your brother's wife that dies without any children. So he says, the Torah tells me this, I'm going to do this. However, achshav she'ein miskavim l'shem mitzvah, but now that people don't have that intention to do it for the performance of the mitzvah, so amru mitzvah chalitza kedemus mitzvah Yibum. So then they said that they switched the order. Now the preference is to do chalitza over Yibum. Now, however, the Gemara brings that Amar Rav does say that if both the Yavam and the Yavama prefer Yibam, then in Kaifin. Then we don't force them for the Yavam to do Chalitza to the Yavama and to say that, wait a second, we're not going to let you do Chalitza because you don't have the appropriate altruistic intentions over here in performing a mitzvah. And you're going to be then encountering an Eish Asach. Rather, the halacha is, as Rav says, if they want to, they could do Yibam. However, as Rashi explains, the reason why the Rav says it in the way that they want to, because if let's say he wants to do Yibam, but she says, I don't want my brother-in-law to do Yibam to me. And she says things which sound like they have a legitimacy in her reason of rejecting her brother-in-law. Then if we could convince the Yavam to say, look, do Chalitza, and she'll give you 200 zuz, then we do that. But if he doesn't agree to that and says, I still want to do Yibam, and I have the right, then we force him to do chalitza, as Rav Sheshet said on Daf Dalet, that how do we know that when the Yavama falls in front of a mukesh chin, which is someone that's a Yavam that's full of boils, which is something that's not appropriate for a woman that want to get married to, that in chayis milayis, that we don't force her, and as Rashi explains, that doesn't mean just a mukesh chin, it means anything that it sounds like a legitimate excuse that she has, that she doesn't want to get married, we won't force her to do Yibam, and rather we'd force him to do Chalitza. But however, if both of them want to have Yibam, then Rav says that we don't force them to do Chalitza, and they can do Yibam. As the Gemara says, that Kiosla Kamei Rav, when they would come, this the Yavama and the Yavam in front of Rav, so Amalahu, he would tell them, Iba Isa Chalitz, Iba Isa Yavim. If you want to, you could do Chalitz. And he said that first because the preferred option is Chalitz. But if you want, you could do Yibam. And that is because B'didach Talachman, the Torah makes it dependent on you, what your choice is. As it says in the Pasuk, V'im lo yach betzeish, that if the man doesn't want to do Yibam, then he does Chalitz. Ha'im Chafitz, but if you want to, Iba Isa Chalitz, Iba Isa Yavim. But the choice is yours. You could choose Chalitz, which again, we prefer that. But if not, you could do Yibam also. As the Gemara says, "V'afra Bihuda Savar en Kaifen." Also, Rabbi Huda also held we don't force people to choose chalitza over yibam, as we see in the Askin Rabbi Huda begita the chalitza, as Rabbi Huda instituted the terminology that's written in the chalitza divorce document. We see the way he wrote it that we see that there was that option we gave of yibam, as it says, "Eich plainis bas plaini." It says in the chalitza divorce document how this woman, the daughter of this man, Akrevasya's plainly Yavama Kadman Lebedina, brought this person, Har Yavam, in front of us in Bezdin, Vishtamaydiinhu da Achua de Misna Me'abeniu. And it was made known to us that this man is the brother of the husband that just died from this woman. Now, Va'amrile, and we told this Yavam, Itzavis Liyab Yav. If you want to do Yibam, do Yibam. And this is the raya that we see that also Rabbi Huda gave the option of Yibam. V'ilai, and if not, if you don't want to do Yibam, then itla, then stick out, extend lo raglich diyimina, stick out your right foot towards the yavama, and the itla ragla diyimina, and he would stick out his right foot, ushras seinim al raglohi, and she would remove his shoe from his foot. The yarkas bampoye ruked meschaz lebedina alara, and she spit in front of us on the floor a spittle that was visible. And that's, as Rashi explains, because the spit, as it's brought later on, daf kafav mabez, has to be visible to the eyes of the dayanim. But one thing that we see, the way he wrote that chalitza document, that we give him the choice, ibayis yavam, that if you want to, itzavis yavam, if you want, you can do yibam, that he also didn't coerce to force chalitza to be done. Now, the Gemara just says that Rebbe Chiya bar Avya, misayim ha-mishmeid de Rebbe Yehuda, he would conclude this get chalitza in the name of Rebbe Yehuda, that there were a few more words written there, that was va'akrinu, the dayonim write on this get chalitza, that we made the yavam recite, madachsiv b'seifa araisa de Moshe, what's written in the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which are the words that the yavam says, lechavatz lekachta, that I don't want to take her, that's written in the get chalitza, that's what he says. Now the Gemara just clarifies one of the words of this get chalitza says, ishtumai di'inhu, that it was made known to us that he's the brother of the one that just passed away, that was of the husband of this widow. So pligiber of achav ravina, there's a machlekes regarding what does that term mean. Chadama be'edim, one says that how is it made known to the dayanim, to the judges, it's made through witnesses, that they have to bring two witnesses to testify that this man is the true yavim, that he's the brother of the one who just passed away. Chadama one says, no, afila karva, afila isha, even a relative, which is not usually a kosher aid, and even a woman, because the vehilchas halacha is giluye milsa ba'amahu. All it is just revealing to us facts that are there in the world, and therefore afila karva, afila isha, could even have a relative, even a woman. It's not true aidus in the sense that's necessary for regular testimony in court, and therefore you don't need two, and even that one person could be even a woman or a relative. Now, the Mishnah in Bukharis that we quoted said as follows. It said, Berishayna, originally, Shemeskavna Shem Mitzvah, where their intentions were pure, they would have it for the sake of the Mitzvah. Then Mitzvah Yim Kodemus and Mitzvah Chalitza, then again, the Mitzvah Yim would come first. But V'achshav Shemeskavna Shem Mitzvah, but now the people, their intentions are not for the sake of the Mitzvah. So Amr Mitzvah Chalitza Kodemus and Mitzvah Yim. So then they changed it and reverted that to have the order Chalitza first before the option of Yibam. And that the Gemara says, the Amr Rabban Bacham Amr Yitzchak Chazru Leimer, they again switched it back to say Mitzvah Yibim Kodemus Mitzvah Chalitza. At a later point in time, they said that no, the Mitzvah Yibim comes before the Mitzvah Chalitza. So on that the Gemara asks Amler of Nachman Yitzchak, which is a famous quote, and saying Achshar Dari, the generations got better. What do you mean? You think people got better as the generations went on? How could you say that originally they were really people that had the mitzvah in mind, and now then they changed it, weren't so into the mitzvah, were doing it for other ulterior motives, and then later on they got better, and they were doing it for the mitzvah's sake? So I think Rashi says no. Mikara, originally, when they switched it from Yibum to having Chalitza first, Savri like Abishal, the Chachamim held like Abishal, which that would make it that the people are not so pure intentions. So he said, let's do Chalitza first. Well, the B'saif, Sabri Karban, but ultimately, the Chacham switched and said the halach is like Rabbanan, which doesn't make a difference with their intentions. The time like Luna Braisa. Abishol says, HaKainas is Yivimti L'Shem Noi. If someone consummates the relationship with his sister-in-law, with his brother's wife, to die without any children, for the purpose of her beauty, or L'Shem Ishes, or for the sake of marriage, as Taisa says, because he wants to be a married man, he doesn't want to be single. And here he gets a free woman to be able to marry, so he's marrying her. U'lishum davaach, or for any ulterior motive. So that Abishol says, kilu pagei be'erva. It's as if you're encountering an illicit relationship, an erva of Eishasach. And actually, v'karv ani be'enai li'yisavad mamzer. Abishol says, I almost consider the child of that union to be like an illegitimate child, because you're not performing the mitzvah of Yibam, which is for the sake of building up your brother's household, which is the mitzvah Hashem's telling you. You're doing it for these ulterior motives, and therefore, it's a forbidden relationship. And the child, I consider almost like a mamzer. Now, that's why they switched it from Yibam to Chalitza, because people aren't on that level anymore. And therefore, it's almost like they're having an erva. So let's do Chalitza. But v'chacham ha'maimrim, they say, no. The pasuk says, yavam ha'yavei aleha, that her yavam will cohabit with her, become makam in any situation. And therefore, they ended up saying, halach is like a chacham, so it doesn't make a difference what his intention is. He's still fulfilling the actual mitzvah of Yibum. And therefore, even though we're definitely not on that level of doing a l'shem mitzvah, still they said that Yibum comes before the option of chalitza. Now, related to this, the Gemara asks, how do we interpret the following braisa? Man tan al hada tan rabban. Who's the Tana of this Bryce that says, it says in the Pasuk, Yivama Yavei Aleha, that the her Yavam will cohabit with her, this Yivama, that the Pasuk is defining, that's a mitzvah, as the Bryce explains. Shebet Chila, originally, meaning before his brother that just died without any children, before he married this woman, Haisallah B'chal Heter, so this woman that now just was widowed, was permitted to the Yavam. She wasn't married to anyone yet. Then Nesra, then she became forbidden to this her brother-in-law because she got married to his brother. Now, v'chazra v'hutra, now when she dies without any children, she comes back to her original permitted status to her brother-in-law. Now, on that, the Bryce is saying that yachol tafzol ha-terarishin, you would think that she just goes back to her original status of being permitted, and that is like a regular woman as if she was never married. That's a pasuk teaches you that her yavam should cohabit with her. That no, it's not just a heter, it's not just permission, but it's a mitzvah. It's actually a commandment. Now that the Gemara asks, Mantana, who's the Tana of this brisa? And moreover, what is he coming to say? So that the Gemara brings two versions. Amar Yitzchak bar Avdimi, he says it's Abba Shalhi. This is what he's saying. Yavama yavi aleha mitzvah. What does that mean? Originally, this woman was permitted to this man. Had he wanted, before she was married to the brother and then widowed from the brother, when she was still single, if he wanted, he could have married her because of her beauty. If he wanted, he could have married her just because he wants to be married and not single anymore. But Nesra, once she becomes forbidden, and then Chazav Hutra, now she comes back permitted because his brother died without any children. So Yochel Tachzal Terishin, you would think she goes back to the original status of how she was before she was ever married, meaning that he could marry her for her beauty or just to be married. That's what the Pasuk teaches you, that it should be le-mitzvah. It should be that it should be for the purpose of v'yibma, of performing the mitzvah of Yibum, which is Yavama Yavei Aleha for the sake of Yibum, meaning for the mitzvah purpose, and no more can you be doing it for Noi or for Ishes, because then it's almost like you're being Pegei in the Erva of Ishesach. That's one interpretation. Rava Amar, he says, Afil Teim Rabban. You could even say that the Manda Amar of this Brayse are the Rabban who are Gan Abishal, and don't have the Girsa Lim Mitzvah, but rather Mitzvah. V'achakam, and this is what the Brayse is saying. It says in the Pasuk, Yavama Yavei Aleha, that's a mitzvah, meaning there's a mitzvah on the Yavim to do Yibum, meaning Yavama Yavala, to cohabit with her, more than Chalitza. And as the Bryce explains, Shebet Chila Ha'isa B'chlal Heter, originally she was permitted. She was a single girl. Rotza Kainza, Rotza in the Kainza. If he wanted at that time, he could have married her. And if he wanted, as he didn't, ultimately his brother did, he didn't have to marry her. Then Nestor, then she became forbidden because she married his brother. Then Chazav Hutra, then when his brother died without any children, she went back to her original status of Heter. And that is what the Brisa is bavarning, is forewarning and saying, Yochel Tachzal Terishin, you would think she would go back to her original permitted status and nothing more, meaning if he wants to, he doesn't have to marry her as she was before when she was single. If he wanted, he could have married her. If he wanted, he didn't have to. As the Brisa says, Ratza Kainza, Ratza Ina Kainza. And that, the Gemara first asks, Ratza Ina Kainza, you would have entertained when his brother died without any children, if he wants to, he doesn't have to marry her? But Hagida Bey, what do you mean? But he's attached to her. That's what Zika is. Bechti Tepek, without anything, she'll just go free. And that the Gemara amends, no, Ela Ema, what the Bryce is saying, we would have thought, is Ratza Kainza, if he wants, he could consummate this relationship. Ratza Chaylitzla, if he wants, he could defer this relationship and reject it, as she was before she was ever married to his brother. And that time, Alayma Yavama Yavai Leha Mitzvah. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us, that her Yavam should be Baal Leha, should cohabit with her, meaning it's a mitzvah. it's not just like how she was originally, where it doesn't make a difference what you do, yibum or chalitza. No, there is a preferred method over here, which is doing yibum, as we said, over chalitza, because the chacham do not hold like Abba Shaul that we care about the intentions of the person. So the gears is not lim mitzvah, but rather mitzvah. No, there's a mitzvah we prefer yibum over chalitza, and therefore we have two different interpretations in this braisa, either like Abba Shaul and it's lim mitzvah, that that's the intention you should be having, but not like how it originally was, where you could have married for whatever intention, or like the chacham that they say that no, intention doesn't make a difference. But you would have thought it would be like it originally was, that you could choose yes to marry her or not, and it's all the same. And that we're saying that no, there is a mitzvah that we prefer you doing yibum and not chalitza.